I'm a huge planner, so whenever my wife, Radhi, and I would go on our adventures, I'd meticulously plan out our itineraries and book our accommodations in advance. It's like a yearly tradition that we do. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to every step of the way. Whether I want to be a simple guy nestled in the countryside or be the stylish and modern guy in the heart of the city, Booking.com never fails to offer a wide range of options that perfectly suit your preferences. And they have everything you need to turn your travel dreams into reality, offering accommodations here in the US. Plus, the ease of booking through the app makes the whole process a breeze. So trust me when I say, when it comes to planning unforgettable getaways, Booking.com is where it's at. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah. Herbs have been a huge part of my wellness journey, thanks to my Indian roots. My mom introduced them to me, and I saw firsthand how they worked wonders for both body and mind. And when it comes to keeping my digestion in check, slippery elm bark and ginger root are my go-tos. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has over 50 years sourcing these herbs and many more that can promote digestive health. Visit naturesway.com/herbs. And use code J10 at checkout for 10% off any herbal supplements through June 30. Terms apply. 90,000 hours. That's approximately how much time an individual will dedicate to work in their lifetime. That's why it's more important than ever to partner with UKG, a company fully dedicated to helping you create a great place to work. With HR, pay, time, and culture solutions, UKG is the only partner that delivers the tools and insights your employees need, no matter who they are, where they work, or what they do. See what UKG can do for your business and your people at ukg.com/great. UKG, our purpose is people.
And I'm not saying that you should, you know, just like post, you know, a picture of yourself waking up first thing in the morning. Everyone wants to put their best foot forward. And I'm certainly not against that. But I do think that there's an element of showing the cracks in your personality so that you feel more human and you actually have an in with someone. You actually have something to comment on. Because like just posting six beautiful selfies, it's like not helping you.
Hey everyone, welcome back to On Purpose, the number one health podcast in the world. Thanks to each and every single one of you. Thank you for taking out time to listen, learn, and grow every single week. And I deeply appreciate the amount of incredible feedback we've been getting during this time, because you know that I've been trying to interview guests and give you insights that are supporting you through this tough time, whatever challenges you're going through. And I really appreciate you leaving the reviews and letting me know which episodes are serving you best and helping you the most. Now, today's episode is really interesting because we've talked about the medical background of COVID-19 and the changes we can make in our life there. We've talked a lot about working from home and becoming more productive from our home work offices or whatever setup that you've created. And we've talked with a therapist about our mental and emotional challenges right now. And today I'm fascinated to actually bring in a new element that we haven't discussed in relation to COVID-19. And that's really understanding relationships, understanding dating, and understanding the space that we all need in our lives, which is the space of love. Now, today's guest knows a lot about that. His name is Justin McLeod. He's the founder and CEO at Hinge, the dating app designed to be deleted. He grew up in Louisville, KY, and studied at Colgate University. After a few years in management consulting, he attended Harvard Business School and decided to follow his passion for connecting people. Justin founded Hinge in February 2011 with a mission to create real-life connections. As a romantic and the protagonist of a real-life love story, he was upset by the negative hookup culture dating apps had created. So in October 2016, he relaunched Hinge to create a culture of thoughtful dating. Justin's vision for a more thoughtful experience resonated with millennials and led to the company's user base growing 400% in the last year. Welcome to the episode, Justin. Justin, thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And I was just sharing with you before we started the podcast that I obviously never got to use online dating ever. The closest I got to was an app called High Five, which was pre-Facebook. But A lot of my friends use Hinge. I've helped many friends build Hinge profiles, and I've heard several good reviews about the app. So first of all, I'd like to congratulate you on that. And I've also had so many friends reaching out to me at this time, and audience members and our community, saying they need help with dating and connection at this time specifically, when they can't go out on a traditional date, they can't meet up with people, they can't go on those walks or dinners or whatever it may be. And so I think you're going to be super useful to our community and audience today. Where are you right now, by the way?
I'm in upstate New York in Hudson Valley.
Okay, nice. And you were just telling me earlier, you've got a crying baby upstairs. You have, how many kids do you have?
Yeah, just one. He's a little 7-month-old.
Oh, no way. Boy. What's his name?
Yeah. Oliver, Ollie.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like seeing the toys in the background and everything. So
yeah, they're back there.
Yeah. But yeah, today we want to dive into everything from entrepreneurship and your journey to your passion for connecting with people. And I'd love everyone who's listening today to get a bit of insight around dating at this time and maintaining relationships. I think there's a lot of people who not only are spending more time than ever together right now, there are also a lot of people who are spending more time apart than ever before as well. And I think not a lot of people are talking about that. There are a lot of people who are new relationships where they're socially distancing right now. So the first question I wanted to ask you was, I was listening to a podcast you did, and you said you used to believe in the idea of the one, but you currently do not. What's changed? I'm fascinated about that. And tell us about that thought process.
I think I just learned through actually being in relationship that I think there are many ones for us out there, but I think ultimately we create the one. You know, it takes work to create the one and to build that relationship. And that takes work and vulnerability and all of those things that I think really build that relationship that we all long for. And that I think so many of us believe that because we watched maybe too many rom-coms that you just stumble into it. You just stumble into an amazing relationship. You know, like 95% of a great relationship is just finding the person. And then once you do, like, then you just, you know, then it's all good from there. And dating apps probably help perpetuate that myth. And I actually think it's more like it's 20% the person and 80% the skills and effort and relationship building abilities that you have that actually craft the relationship that you want, that people, I think, experience as the one.
I think that's spot on advice, man. That resonates so deeply with me. And how long have you been with your wife for now?
Well, it's a long story, but so in this current iteration of our relationship, 5 years, a little over 5 years.
Amazing. Yeah.
But we go back 17 years.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. Yeah. And so I love that advice that you're sharing, because I think for so many people, you're spot on. It's like, I'm going to find the one and then it's all going to go, you know, uphill and everything's going to be fine. And you're spot on. It's totally the other way around. And I think that's why we struggle to find the one in that mindset, because we're constantly looking for the perfect person, the perfect partner who's got everything perfect, which obviously is impossible to find. And then we almost get surprised when we realize that they're not perfect. And then that's when the work's really got to happen. And that's what we miss out on. So,
or they reflect our imperfections back to us. And that's equally scary.
yeah, exactly. Or even that one, plus I found myself doing this a lot. I was reflecting my parents' relationship in my relationship. So it was like, not only was I reflecting my wife's and my wife reflecting me, but us reflecting our parents. And that just confuses the whole thing. So I want to hear, what's your favorite dating story, either yours or one that you've heard, or one of your favorite stories about dating?
Oh, we hear so many. I mean, we have people send us success stories and we read them every week at our wrap, and just heard amazing one. One that really stuck with me, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, was a woman in the UK who had lost, I think, one or both of her legs in an accident, and was really struggling to meet people and would hide the fact that she didn't have both of her legs, I think, on her dating profile, and they would meet people and then it would be awkward. And so she really ended up like celebrating it on her dating profile, which is, I think, is such a big ethos of Hinge, which is that bring your full self out there and find someone who really wants the real you. Don't look for the validation of getting a lot of likes. Look for sharing who you really are, and then focus on the people that are really great for you. And she found someone on Hinge after she did that, and was this success story, and it was published in a magazine. That was, I think, like one that really stuck with me, just because it just told the story of vulnerability and helped show that it's what we live for at Hinge, is helping people find those kinds of stories.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. On Purpose with Jay Shetty is brought to you by Booking.com, Booking.yeah. Many of you know that one of the most important aspects of my life is my connection with others. Travel has become one of the best ways for me to connect with people, whether that be my community, my family, friends, or loved ones, or all of you. Most of my family lives outside of the US, so traveling around the holidays, birthdays, or other special occasions is something that we're accustomed to. As we grow older, oftentimes our families or loved ones end up living in different areas as us, making it challenging to get together due to various schedules and commitments. With Booking.com, I'm able to efficiently book travel and accommodations for everyone in my family, so that we can spend quality time together. They also make it easy to book travel for the various types of travelers in my family, so that each person in my family can authentically be the traveler they want to be, no matter the destination. Once a year, my family takes a trip together to a US destination where none of us live or are visited. We find this helpful in making sure that everyone is truly present and able to unplug from their normal routines, resulting in more meaningful conversations and connections. Experiencing new places with those close to you allows you to bond over a shared experience. Booking.com's breadth and variety of accommodations in the US has made the destination selection and booking process not only easy, but fun. Travel can also foster new connections. Visiting different cities has allowed me to build connections with all of you, my community, most of whom I've never met in person and otherwise would have not crossed paths with. The in-person relationships that are built and strengthened through travel is something that each of us can benefit from. Book whoever you want to be on booking.com, booking.yeah. I've got to say, herbs have been a game changer in my wellness routine, all thanks to my Indian upbringing. My mum was the one who got me started on them way back when. I've seen how they can do wonders for both body and the mind. One of my favorites is ashwagandha, which is an adaptogenic herb that helps reduce stress. I usually take it in the morning with my breakfast, and it helps me stay cool, calm, and collected throughout the day. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has ashwagandha as well as herbs like St. John's wort and holy basil that provide mood and stress support. They have over 50 years of experience sourcing herbs from all over the world in the continents and climates where they grow best. Nature's Way rigorously tests every batch of herbs for potency and purity in their state-of-the-art lab. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/herbs and use code J10 at checkout for 10% off any herbal supplements. Terms and conditions apply, valid through June 30th.
You start thinking about the infinite number of differences that humans have, whether it's physical, mental, emotional background, and it's so hard to be vulnerable in that way. How do you think that you've tried to engineer and create your app in such a way that allows people to naturally be their best, not their best self, but their real self and their vulnerable self and their genuine self, so that people can connect in a real way and save themselves that the games and the time and the energy and the effort that's often wasted in trying to present your best self?
Yeah, there's so many things. We say that Hinge is the app that's designed to be deleted because there's no simple gimmick about like, oh, we just do this one thing and then, you know, that makes our app different. Some of the key ways, one is that we have these things called prompts, which are these short questions designed to help people get into great conversations. And we've really engineered those over time. And we've, you know, we started with just kind of our best guesses of what would work. And then we started to, over time, discover the science of the sweet spot between what people are willing to answer and then what actually leads to a great conversation. And there's definitely kind of this efficiency frontier of vulnerability where like you want to find one that is people are both willing to answer, but also people, you find that the ones that are the most vulnerable are the ones that where people aren't willing to answer them are the ones that actually lead to the best conversations if they are. So it's kind of pushing people's edge, weeding out the ones that we know don't work, like my go-to karaoke song, which everyone loves to answer, but leads to zero interesting conversations, and replacing them with things like what I'm looking for in a plus one wedding date, or some of the more popular ones that really get people to drop in and share what's important to them.
Tell us some more of those good examples, like, because I think you're so right that the biggest struggle people have right now, and I hear this from friends and community people all the time, like everyone's saying to me, like, Jay, like, I'm on this dating app, I like this guy or this girl and I'm matched with them, but I don't know how to start a conversation. And I don't know what to say first because I don't want to be the person saying, hey, how are you? Or, yeah, hey, are you stuck indoors too? Like, you know, it's like,
totally.
And so tell us about some of those other questions that you have as prompts that help people start those great conversations. And what is it about that question that you've understood through data and these stories to see that has the greatest impact on starting a really meaningful conversation, especially in isolation right now?
Yeah. So a lot of them have been in the past. Well, it would have been, now I think we have my ideal virtual first date, but my ideal first date, which also just helps get the momentum carried towards actually like meeting and or video chatting or whatever the case may be. Two truths and a lie, ones that are interactive, really help as well, where you actually get that beginning of the conversation. And we actually just released photo prompts as well to help guide people to choose photos that aren't just six selfies in a row, right? It's showing, you know, asking people to show different aspects of them, like my happy place and things like that, which again, I think gets the conversation started. And the real magic, like there's no like perfect opening line. If there were a perfect opening line, then everyone would use it and would get tired, right? So there's no perfect opening line, but I think what is the way to approach someone, especially on Hinge, because we don't have the swipe left and right kind of dynamic. You actually choose something on their profile, either a prompt they answered or a photo that they selected to engage with. So you comment on it. And so saying something specific that caught your eye about that photo or about that prompt, that is how you're going to get a unique conversation going. And it's just, I mean, it sounds kind of commonsensical, but it's just, it's how you would interact with someone if you met them out. You'd comment on something in context or something about them to get the conversation going. And it's really no different on Hinge.
I really like the question that you mentioned of, you know, what would be your ideal first date? Because, you know, in psychology, that's forward pacing. And, you know, like you said, it's putting people in the mindset of that they're already thinking in that direction. And so you're already creating it in your imagination and in your conversation, which means that it's more likely to happen in reality. And so I think that's a great question. And I think any questions like that, that spur action or connection or coming together are positive connections, especially right now when all you have is your imagination for a first date as well. I don't know if you saw this video. I interviewed someone on my Instagram Live last week. His name's Jeremy Cohen. He made this video of falling in love during quarantine. So he saw a girl on a roof in New York City dancing and recording a TikTok video. So he put his number and a note on a drone and flew his drone over to her rooftop. And it's triggered like the best love story ever. Like every person in the world wants to marry Jeremy Cohen right now. But it's that innovation and that creativity and that openness to finding something new at this time. What kind of pressures are you seeing? Or I guess, how are you seeing people? Two parts to this question. What are the first pressures that you're seeing on dating and people starting a relationship at this time? And second of all, how are you seeing usage on the app change and dating change at this time, especially through the use of an app like yours?
Yeah, it's definitely changing because right now people can't meet up in person. So I think it's causing people to change their mindsets of how they're using Hinge. So video first dates about as far as you can go. And I think that's actually really changing people's mindsets about the acceptability of video first dating. I think up until this point, people thought that was kind of weird or kind of awkward. But now, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. I think that people are kind of like more open to the idea of video dating. And anecdotally, and many, many anecdotes I've heard at this point, people really almost unequivocally like the experience. It's almost never as awkward as they think it's going to be. It's great. And they're finding ways to do dates. Like I heard one where they had a video first date and they instructed each other on cooking their respective like favorite dishes. So I would like instruct you on how to cook my favorite dish and you'd instruct me how to cook your favorite dish and then you'd sit down and have them together. So people I think are getting really creative with how to continue to date during this epidemic. And it really seems like, I mean, the stories that I'm hearing, people are, thank God, taking it seriously, the social, you know, the social distancing and not actually meeting up and using video dates. So that behavior is definitely changing. People are using Hinge. Like we're definitely seeing the messaging is going up, and people's willingness, like I said, to do video dates is going up. And so no, I mean, people are feeling obviously alone, especially single people are feeling like really alone right now. And so that's why I think they're reaching out to platforms like Hinge where they can really connect with people.
Yeah, I loved what you pointed out there because I think a lot of people forget or they place themselves in fear that their first date or any date for that matter has to be like staring someone in the face and having a conversation about life. And when you kind of think about it like that, you're like, whoa, that's pretty tough. Like, when do you do that with anyone? You know, how often do you do that? Or how much would you do that with a complete stranger? And I love the example you gave there because what we're really searching for is shared experiences. What we're really looking for is an opportunity to have an experience with someone else. So whether you're cooking each other or something, or you're doing a workout together, or you're playing a game together, like I think that kind of stuff just drops the guard and helps everyone feel so much more comfortable and relaxed because yeah. You're now seeing each other in a real environment. I know for me and my wife, when we first started dating and we used to love going and doing activities and experiences together. So we would go and do this, you know, like outdoor assault courses, which are like 80 feet up in the air. And it would be so great for us both to like, there were certain things that I'd find more scary and she'd find more scary. And we'd help each other through those. And you start to notice personality traits in a much more natural, organic way, rather than asking someone, hey, what are you like? Like, how do you describe
yourself? Yeah, so it feels like an interview process or something. Yeah.
Exactly. And we all know that interviews, you know, I feel like dating and interviews don't work in that format because you say what you think the other person wants to hear, or you're trying to make something up. Whereas, yeah, when I love the example you gave, of like if you're cooking each other's favorite meal and you're guiding each other through, you kind of learn what that person's like in real life.
Exactly. Like when you start working with someone, you actually find out very quickly whether they're the type of person that you want to hire. So I think it's absolutely the same.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love hearing that. I'm glad that more people are using the app, and I'm glad that more people are trying to seek for meaningful connection at this time as well. I guess tell us about that inspiration behind the app that you had in terms of people seeking meaningful connection and you thinking that apps were letting people down. Like, where did you, because was it because you had this incredible love life that you were inspired by love, or was it the opposite of like you were struggling with love and that's kind of what led you to this? What led you to this idea?
Well, I think there are multiple layers of that. On the one hand, definitely. So when Kate and I, so 5 years ago, I'd started Hinge back in 2011, and I'd originally built it as just another, just like the other apps where it was kind of like swipe people left and right. And because it was predicated on this belief that you just had to find the right person. So if you just went through enough people, you'd eventually hit on the right person and you'd move on. And then actually being in a relationship with Kate, I realized that that's when I sort of migrated from that belief that, you know, from about you just find the one to you make the one. And then I really wanted to tear Hinge down and rebuild it to help people become a little bit more vulnerable and to slow down and to really help make their own one. So that was kind of the initial inspiration. And that's why I think the app really does feel more connected. And it's why it is the fastest growing, because I think people are really, really craving that. And that, and then as that became our mission, I widened my lens and widened my scope as I looked around and saw so many apps. And now just like, forget dating apps, just so-called social media apps that are not designed to make us feel connected and have a sense of belonging and a sense of community. They're designed to essentially keep us glued at their apps, staring at more ads. And I just think that there needs to be much more awareness around the phenomenon of digital addiction and digital wellness and appropriate boundaries for using of these services. Because I haven't heard anyone say, you know, I've been isolated, but thank God I have Instagram. Like that's not making people feel more connected. That's a service that feeds on our vulnerability of needing to have validation. And it doesn't actually make us feel more connected, that I think other apps like simply Zoom and FaceTime are really incredible technologies that allow us to continue to have relationships. And so I think people are starting to really feel the difference between what it's like to have a interactive seeing and being seen moment with someone versus a validation. Let me put up a filtered version of myself and get a lot of feedback on that. So that's kind of the larger lens of Design to Be Deleted and thoughts about digital wellness.
Yeah. You gave a really good example there where you were talking about how instead of someone just and the comments you're making about other social media platforms where we are just trying to get validation or trying to get likes or followers or get that kind of positive sentiment and response to feel better about ourselves. And you spoke about earlier about how with Hinge you don't want people to just post six selfies. You want them to show different parts of themselves, whether it's the happy place, et cetera. What are the other ways in which you're encouraging people, or how can people think about this? And what practical tips can you share with them so that they feel that they're able to improve their success on a dating app, right? Like what can people do? What are they getting wrong right now? Or when people have that kind of limiting belief of this isn't right for me, what have you done differently? Or what can you encourage them to do practically to be more confident about that approach? Because it's natural for us to just want to post the pictures we think we look the best in, right? That's the natural instinct that we've been conditioned for so many years.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that you should, you know, just like post, you know, a picture of yourself waking up first thing in the morning. Everyone wants to put their best foot forward. And I'm certainly not against that. But I do think that there's an element of showing the cracks in your personality and in your, you feel more human and you actually have an in with someone. You actually have something to comment on. Because like just posting six beautiful selfies is like not helping you. Other ways that I think people can help themselves is exploring and following through on their matches. I think so many people at the moment of the first sign of friction within a conversation or whatever, they kind of just like move on to they go back and try to find more people. And I think that just leads to this sense of burnout and the sense that these are just kind of internet people. But the idea of really following through with your matches, giving people a chance, I've heard of people who like, they're like every single conversation, I'm going to let it get to like 20 messages before I make a decision, no matter what. And those kinds of strategies really work, because so many people that you maybe would have dropped off after three or four messages, you're like, yeah, whatever, I'll just move on to the next one. You have that discipline about moving on. That's why we have in Hinge something called Your Turn, which just reminds people that the other person was the last person to send the message. And it sort of stays persistent to remind you to send back the message, to give people give themselves that shot. So that's another way that I think people can really slow down. On Hinge, we limit the number of likes you can send per day. So you don't just get overwhelmed with like match after match after match. You're thoughtful about who you want to see. Our algorithm is designed in a way that we really only show you people that you have a chance with. We don't try to show you just like lots of hot people that just get you excited and get you swiping more. There's, like I said, Designed to Be Deleted. There's a lot of ways that I think we design the app so that you will take these slower, more thoughtful approaches.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I like those ways, because I think online dating does require some discipline, like that commitment of going back and forth on messaging whenever I view someone in the process of a conversation. And I'm like, God, that guy's like messaged you like 7 times. How have you not replied? You know, it's like, and I'm trying to figure out why people in my life, friends that I know, are not replying, like what's blocking them. And half the time it's like, they don't feel they're interesting, or they don't think they're interesting over message, or they feel like they don't have anything interesting to connect with. But if you're prompting them with questions and prompting them with ideas of things they can do, I think those are smart ways to get people encouraged. Because I think that's half the battle. Half the battle is people feeling like they feel they're not going to be as interactive on message as they are in person. But right now we're all being forced to do that. Right now we're being forced to be our most interesting selves through digital, as opposed to having any other way to pull that off.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. On Purpose with Jay Shetty is brought to you by Booking.com, Booking.yeah. Many of you know that one of the most important aspects of my life is my connection with others. Travel has become one of the best ways for me to connect with people, whether that be my community, my family, friends, or loved ones, or all of you. Most of my family lives outside of the US, so traveling around the holidays, birthdays, or other special occasions is something that we're accustomed to. As we grow older, oftentimes our families or loved ones end up living in different areas as us, making it challenging to get together due to various schedules and commitments. With Booking.com, I'm able to efficiently book travel and accommodations for everyone in my family so that we can spend quality time together. They also make it easy to book travel for the various types of travelers in my family so that each person in my family can authentically be the traveler they want to be, no matter the destination. Once a year, my family takes a trip together to a US destination where none of us live or are visited. We find this helpful in making sure that everyone is truly present and able to unplug from their normal routines, resulting in more meaningful conversations and connections. Experiencing new places with those close to you allows you to bond over a shared experience. Booking.com's breadth and variety of accommodations in the US has made the destination selection and booking process not only easy, but fun. Travel can also foster new connections. Visiting different cities has allowed me to build connections with all of you, my community, most of whom I've never met in person and otherwise would have not crossed paths with. The in-person relationships that are built and strengthened through travel is something that each of us can benefit from. Book whoever you want to be on booking.com, booking.yeah. Herbs hold a special place in my wellness journey, a tradition deeply rooted in my Indian heritage. Introduced to me by my mom, their healing properties have been part of my life since I was born. Growing up, I witnessed firsthand the remarkable effects of herbs on both physical and mental well-being. Among the herbs I take are ashwagandha for its adaptogenic properties, slippery elm bark for gastrointestinal health. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has these herbs and hundreds more that help support everything from healthy digestion to sleep to stress. They have over 50 years of experience with sourcing herbs from all over the world in the climates where they grow best. Every batch of herbs is rigorously tested for potency and purity in their state-of-the-art lab. Nature's Way believes nature is the ultimate problem solver and is dedicated to bringing the power of plants to help people live healthier lives. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/herbs and use code J10 at checkout for our 10% off any herbal supplements. Terms and conditions apply, valid through June 30th.
How have you been finding that, actually? You're probably doing a lot of interviews right now, not in person and on Zoom and on FaceTime. I don't know how you manage your team every day. How are you finding communicating digitally is different personally than communicating physically when you're with someone?
I think one of the biggest things is you don't have the, we'll say like the dead time that you get when you're just hanging out with someone, you know, like it's like if there's a pause or it's like the end of the conversation, there's just kind of like, okay, well, okay, it's the end of the conversation. You don't just kind of like hang out, right? So like you would on a walk or if you're out at a meal with someone. So certainly I think there's that. There's this kind of pressure to like keep the dialogue going. So that's tough. You just don't get the full person context. I think that's what I'm finding. Like certainly with running Hinge, we can still have video calls and have meetings and share documents. And the collaboration tools are amazing. And I will say that overall productivity, we're not really missing much of a beat yet. But it does feel in a way as a CEO, like I'm flying a little bit blind. Like I really feed off the energy of the team and knowing, you know, who's feeling what and walking around the office and talking to people and not being able to sort of do that is tough. But we're trying to find ways. We're doing lots of things at Hinge that we can adapt, like changing our Slack statuses, for example, to our emotional states versus our like whether we're vacationing or sick or work from home, right? Because those don't even mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
So we changed them to like happy, lonely, stressed, you know, so that we can actually, if I can't see you walking around the office, like pulling out your hair, I can at least see like a little emoji with the head exploding and I know to check in on someone because they're stressed. So there's things like that. There's, and finding ways to have the more social connection during the day. I think that's another really, really important thing. We actually just launched something called the Warm Up on Monday mornings, where at 9:30, everyone checks in on Zoom. We do a short meditation. And then maybe people don't know this, but Zoom has this thing called breakout rooms, which is really cool. You can have, if you have 40 people in a Zoom call, you can break them out into like groups of two or three or four, and then come back together as a group. And so we'll give them prompts about, you know, how are you really doing? Giving them a chance to talk about things that are just not their daily work, so they can really connect as humans with one another.
So yeah, those are great tips. I know a lot of our audience is having a shift from work from home, and many have their own businesses anyway, and many of them work inside huge organizations, and many of them just, you know, flexible lives. And I think you're so right that the tools are great, but it's good to have these habits kind of that you've set up, like your 9:30 a.m. calls, or I love the one of having the emoji to represent how you're feeling that day, because I think that's so true. Like when you're working in the same space as someone, you can see someone's mood on their face. So I think you're spot on about that. How's it been for you? Like you've obviously got a 7-month-old son who's in this new world. You know, you and your partner, you're living in the same home right now. How many of you are in the same home? Is it just three of you or is it more?
There's more. Well, so we're in upstate New York.
Okay.
But usually we're not. So we live in Brooklyn.
Yes.
So we got a house in upstate. So that's where we are right now. And we've got, it's Kate and Ollie and myself. And we actually brought our childcare person as well.
Amazing.
Because it was just too hard to commute and to deal with the.
Yeah. How are you finding it as a couple living at home with a young child? Like, what are you doing as a couple? What are you doing as a family to help kind of get through this time? Because I think a lot of parents are finding it difficult, obviously, for obvious reasons at this time of being with their kids all day, obviously a lot older than yours as well. But also couples are spending a lot more time together as well. So what have you kind of found in the real life home situation that's helped your relationship right now, or that you're using as a technique or skill?
Yeah, building some normalcy and boundaries, I think, is really important for us. Like knowing when to put work away and when work is on is really important. So we have a routine where we just get up in the morning, we do a yoga class together, we go for a walk with Ollie. We're like down to the Hudson River and back every morning. So we have that like morning commute moment. And then we sort of cook breakfast, listen to the daily. That's all the news I want to know. And then we go to work for the day. And then we close out at the end of the day and take another walk as sort of our evening commute. And then we actually just hang out with each other for the rest of the night. And, but listen, I've got it super easy. We're really, really lucky to have someone here with us who can help with Ollie. I can tell you that I work with a lot of people, my fellow leadership team who's still in the city, and they don't, with people commuting back and forth every day, And that's a whole nother league of being able to do double parent duty with one or two kids alone while also trying to work. And it's really, really hard. And I think people are just having to step back a little bit from their work duties, which is totally.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think what you shared is true regardless of situation, of just having some sort of rhythm and routine in the day, of having a change of environment, whether that's visual, if you can go outdoors, or even if it's internal and just shifting up the environment in your home, it's so useful to just feel that movement, to feel that routine throughout the day, changing it up, because otherwise you can feel that you're in the same room for the whole day. And that, I feel, brings its own strain on a relationship. So one thing I've been recommending to a lot of people lately is, if you're used to not working with your partner and not being in the same room all day, it's okay to have space during the day. It's okay to be in your own work zones or work corners or work desks, whatever it is that works for you. It's, you don't have to sit on the same couch and do everything.
No, definitely not.
You don't have to breakfast, lunch, and dinner and watch a movie on that same couch every day together.
Yeah.
That's not healthy for any relationship. And so don't feel the pressure that now we have to spend all our time together. I think it's okay to recognize, like you said, you know, we have our commute, we have this feeling, we have this experience, some of it together, some of it not. I think that's really healthy to recognize. And same with what you said, that if work or something has to take a back seat while you're shifting and adjusting or whatever it is, because right now it's something that's affecting absolutely anyone and everyone, it's so important to make those adjustments and not judge yourself and kind of carry that guilt. I think a lot of people right now are feeling guilty for not being the perfect partner or the perfect parent right now.
No, I don't think anyone can be the perfect anything right now.
Yeah.
I think a little self-compassion is, that's right.
Yeah. You mentioned meditation there. Tell me about your journey with mindfulness and meditation. Is it a big part of your life? Is it something that, how long have you been interested in it? And I'd love to explore that.
For 15 years now, I guess. So started for me when actually going through drug and alcohol rehab and 12-step programs, that was kind of my introduction to mindfulness and to a different way of looking at the world that eventually led to yoga and yoga teacher training and going off and doing 10-day Vipassanas. And so I've been on that journey. I do find that just the ultimately what matters is the consistency of the practice, even if it's only 5 minutes in the morning, is really important. That's kind of, my journey's evolved a lot over time. I think that the meditation, the daily practices and those things are great. I don't do them every single day. I wish that I did. But also I've even found now where I am that, I sometimes, if I'm really good about the practices, you know, my daily journaling and meditation and yoga every morning, those can also be, it also becomes like a distraction, like a checkbox thing. You know, it's just like, oh, I checked off the three things, and then it becomes its own like goal-oriented obsession about like doing it. And then I'm taken out of myself just as much as I would be. So I do those practices, but really the practice is always being in the practice. The practice is taking a breath throughout the day, noticing when I'm getting agitated or when I'm going into my head or I'm spinning out, and then like coming back down, being aware of my breath, being aware of how I'm reacting to Kate and to Ollie and to all that stuff. And I'll tell you that like having a 7-month-old is like the ultimate meditation, because it can be, right? If you really pay attention to this little person, they're telling you so much all the time and you're following their energy and they want to go over here, so you follow them over there, and you can just kind of, that becomes its whole like meditation dance practice in itself, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. No, I couldn't agree with you more. It's hard when the one practice that's meant to be freeing becomes your prison. Like it becomes the thing that's like, you know, you become imprisoned to it almost, of that habit and the routine and the timeliness, and it needs to be giving you that freedom and the spontaneity and the expression and the growth. And so
you start to get an ego about it, and then you create all this rigidity about it, and then you've totally lost the purpose of it. So I think like wearing it, like, you know, just being a little bit loose with it and giving myself an opportunity and following my energy in the morning. And I don't want to do it every morning. And sometimes I just want to like have a cup of coffee and, you know, do like dive right into work sometimes. But so yeah, it's finding that it's helpful to have the routines and to fall to them, but also not become religious about them, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And you said you've encouraged your team to do as well. So is this something that the company does every single day or multiple times per week? And how's that really helped? How's that helped people in the company right now and before as well?
Yeah, we're finding our rhythm with how to do it right now. Like I said, we just instituted this Monday morning warm-up where it's a meditation and then a sort of personal check-in with each other. We're offering a digital yoga class to everyone tomorrow for the first time, and we're going to see how the digital yoga class experience goes. And we're just experimenting. We're just seeing what works. And what's interesting, I think, is that it's, you know, moments like this where everything changes and our context totally changes, shakes up our thinking in a way that it'll be interesting to see what persists beyond even when we return back to our working lives. I'm excited to see like the warm-up, for example, that we do in the morning. It sounds on Monday mornings, I think should just become a thing that we do. Like, why weren't we doing that before?
Yeah.
And so I think, and it's definitely changed my relationship with my belief in work from home. Like I am realizing that you don't want to be doing it five days a week for 6 months at a time, but certainly like a couple of days a week, really, I think it makes sense for people. So it's just changing a lot about how we're thinking about business. And I'm sure how a lot of people are thinking about business.
Yeah. Speaking about that, you know, I want to ask you about this, like as an entrepreneur and founder of, you know, an app, you don't actually have social media or Slack or email on your phone, right?
Like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. How did you make that decision? And B, how have you stuck to that through the growth? Because I feel like that may have been an easier decision in the beginning, or was it, you know, it's, yeah, sometimes in the beginning it feels like, oh yeah, we can do this. But then as, you know, as your success has grown and I'm sure your life's like incredibly busy and you have a crazy schedule, and how have you stuck to that decision and how useful has it been and what benefits have you gained from it?
Insanely useful. I don't think there's ever an easy time to do it. So I don't think there's ever an easy time to do it, but it actually becomes, now I don't even think about it. Like now it's just my routine. It's how I do it. And I don't even think about it, but I just find that if I have Slack and email on my phone, I will get into checkbox, you know, reactive mode where it's just like, oh, respond to this incoming message, respond to that email. And like, and then that's just like all I do with my free time. And I don't step back and give myself room to think bigger about strategy or allow those moments of like thoughts to bubble up about just ideas or things that I want to do or longer term things. I have no space for that kind of thinking because I'm just like, what email did someone send me? I've never really been a social media person. That's just never called to me, but I certainly was like supremely addicted to Slack messages, right? Like, mm-hmm. So like someone sent me a Slack, is something going on? What do I need to catch up on? And I just so much rather do that in bulk once or twice a day. I'm like in my email inbox, like once or twice a day, if that. I'm like, I'm horrible on email. And, but I just don't, yeah, it allows me to be in like proactive mode. Waking up and journaling instead of waking up and reading Slack in the news is like just completely changes the trajectory of my entire day and puts me into like focusing on the important things and not the urgent things.
Yeah, it sounds like a smart move. I literally didn't have a social media account until 2014. And then obviously my life is very different now because my work exists on every platform and that's my world. So, but I remember those days when I didn't have that. And so now I've just trained myself to not wake up to my phone and not go sleep to my phone. And that's been a really useful, healthy habit. I remember when I first tried to build that habit, I would lock my devices in my car outside so that I couldn't have them before I went to sleep and when I got up in the morning. And I, at that time, now I wake up naturally and let my body wake me up. But before I used to have, I ordered this Timex alarm clock from Amazon and it would wake me up.
Oh, God.
My phone. And it was just, you're so right. Like the clarity I feel even now, if I'm traveling and sometimes I have my phone there, the clarity you feel not waking up and being reactive, being shocked into being awake, getting news the moment you wake up, getting, you know, 1,023 notifications the moment you wake up. It's just too much to process. So I can totally see why, as a founder, it's a brilliant decision. And I'm glad that you're sharing that with the world, because hopefully it will help more founders and more CEOs allow themselves to recognize that it's not business critical to have it on their phone.
It's really not. It just takes a moment to align people around what are the sort of like service level agreements around different forms of communication, right? And people know that like email for me is a 24-hour kind of experience, and Slack is like a, you know, it could be 4 to 6 hours. And if you really need me urgently, text me. And that's just the agreement that I have with the people that work with me. And, you know, I don't get that many texts, you know, I'm just not that important, but there's just not that many things that are like that urgent that I can't wait a few hours if someone needs me.
You say one of the most important skills of an entrepreneur is resilience. And I feel like right now that's a skill that people really, really need, because, you know, everyone's resilience is being tested. Tell me about a time when you feel your resilience was massively tested and you started to realize its value. Because what I often find with resilience is that it gets stronger when it's tested. We prove how powerful we are and how much pain we can deal with and how much potential we have when we're put into tough situations, because otherwise you don't know how. So tell me about something that brought that to you and why you placed resilience as the top quality of an entrepreneur or one of the most important ones.
I mean, definitely managing the turnaround reboot in 2016 was really, really, really tough, because it started off with having to let go half the company, which was already like, you know, we weren't in a great spot, and we just couldn't restart the company with 30 people around the table. So letting go of half the company was very tough. And then not only that, but I went to the team and I'm like, I believe there is an answer here. I don't know what it looks like. We're going to have to figure it out. And it took a while. And I will say that, like, you know, when it came June, so like 6-7 months in to this reboot, and we still didn't really have an answer of what this new dating app was going to look like. It just like the, you know, with the team starting to feel anxious, I just felt like Moses leading people around the desert, and everyone's like, where are we going? Like, what are we doing? Like, and that can be really, really hard, and running up against, you know, the end of our funding and, you know, the existential threat hanging over your head that like this whole thing could fall apart. And I'd spent the last, at that point, 7 years or yeah, 6-7 years working on this, and to watch it like, you know, very nearly all crumble was just an incredible amount of stress. And that is, I think, when those routines really do serve someone. It just helps widen context so that your ego doesn't become so identified with your project that it's all that exists, you know, like, cause then it's like, I like literally if this, you know, I mean, literally feeling suicidal at points just because my company was not going to work out. And the morning journaling, the morning yoga, reminding myself that I'm like a human with a body, a physical breathing thing that gets pleasure from just, you know, like breath and sensation and touch and the journaling and just like getting all the thoughts out on my brain and the meditation and just like taking a moment, like those kinds of things, those are like become a literal lifesaver, I think, in those moments. And so I think having routines and rituals during moments of high stress are, and when the resilience is really called, are like, that is the key.
Yeah, I think that's going to help a lot of people right now, because I know a lot of people have let go of half of their teams or many employees. And I know a lot of people who are in that position right now where they, you know, they feel that their business could completely not exist after this time, or at least be very weak. And, you know, it's not unnatural for people to get really negative thoughts during that time and fall into depression and challenging habits. And so, yeah, I think that's great advice and great insight around, you know, you're going to fall into a habit during this time, And it's your choice and your resilience that's going to push you towards a good set of habits and routines and practices, as opposed to a negative habit that's going to pull you down, because you're going to fall into a habit. We always do, right? It's like when things are tough, you are going to go to one or the other, and it's finding that fight and finding that resilience in yourself to push yourself towards the positive habit that you know has long-term benefits. And it's incredible to, sorry, Karen, go on. You're going to say something. I don't want to.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I left out the, I think the best habit that I've learned the value of more recently, ironic for someone who has a connection app, but reaching out to people. I mean, I think that I always, and as a sort of founder and soul founder, was like, if I'm feeling bad, like I will like go meditate and I will journal and I will do yoga. But, you know, reaching out to someone, I think, is something that so few of us do as like a stress reliever, but that is like the number one thing. And having someone that you can reach out to, and again, that you don't have to look cool in front of, but that you can just be like, I'm going through this really hard thing and feeling awful, and I don't need a solution. I just need someone to listen. I have a men's group that I meet with every Monday night, and that's just like a really great thing that I have in my life, where you just like really drop in and check in about how you're really doing. And I think that is like one of the best routines that you can have during this time.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm really glad that you highlighted that. It's so true. You can become so stoic and just, you know, believe that you can deal with all your own issues and no one else can see them. And especially right now, I think the need to reach out, and like you said, someone that you don't need to impress or you don't need to behave a certain way with, someone that you can just like strip yourself and be honest and genuine and let go. I think that's for real. That's definitely going to help so many people right now. And yeah, please take that advice. I think it's really, really easy to give that advice and it's hard to take it. And so, you know, I can hear, when I'm here, Justin, speak right now, it's like, I can tell that there were times when you've avoided it, as you said yourself, but.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's when those, even if you're really bad at it, then make it a daily habit until it becomes more natural. But I have a friend, Jared, who sends every morning when he wakes up, he sends a message of gratitude to some random person in his network. And it just starts a conversation for that day that he can check in with someone and just tells them what he appreciates about them, which I just think is like such an amazing, amazing thing. And he's one of the happiest, most connected, most peaceful people I know in my entire life. And it's probably because of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I love that one. And who doesn't like being checked in with, or who doesn't like receiving a message of gratitude, especially when there's no agenda attached? 99% of the people that reach out to us, and 99% of the people we reach out to, is with a specific request, ask, or agenda. Yeah. And so when someone requests or asks or proposes something with zero agenda, it's so fresh. It's like, wow, like, really? You just thought about me. That's it. You know, and that's like the best feeling when you know that's it. You know, when it's like, oh, we should do this partnership together, or we should do this deal together, or will you invest, or all those conversations, like that never feels, even if it works out successfully, that never feels as meaningful as someone just messaging you, hey, I was thinking about you.
Yeah. So, and I appreciate this thing about you, you know, something that they love about you. So,
Yeah, I love that, man. That's really, really great advice. Tell us about, I want to go back to what you said at the beginning. Tell us about this 17 and 5 year relationship journey with your partner right now.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's a whole story. We met in college. We met her first day of college, my first day of sophomore year. And I mean, this could be a very long story, but I had just gotten out of rehab. I was a crazy person back then. And we met and we were just like polar opposites. I was like this crazy party kid, and she was this like never been kissed, like girl from Catholic school. And we just had this spark, and we were kind of on and off through college, because I was, again, was this crazy party kid and wanted to have new experiences. And I just like wasn't ready to just like be with someone. And so we ended up breaking up at the end of college, and 8 years went by before I saw her again. And during that interim time, I started Hinge, because 4 years in to that, I just thought, you know, I'm never going to find someone as great as Kate. And I wanted like the one, right? I thought that like she was the one, and I screwed it up, and I'm never going to find the one. And so I started Hinge, and 4 years later, on that old version of Hinge, I still hadn't, found the one. And I was inspired by a writer from the New York Times who wrote a profile on me who had a very parallel story to mine. And she ended up with her person. She found him 20 years later and realized they should have been together. And she's like, you can't make the same mistake. Like, if she's not married yet. And she was engaged to another guy living in Switzerland a couple months before the wedding. And I flew over and asked her to call off the wedding and move back to America with me, which she did. So that was the, that's the very short version of that story. And it got turned into like a modern love episode on it was a modern love column in the New York Times. And it got turned into an episode on the Amazon series. And Dev Patel plays me, which is like the most surreal experience. Yeah. Yeah. It was a weird thing, but it was great.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, no, it's. I think everyone loves hearing about a love story, and it's great that we're trying to use technology to have more meaningful connection and solve the challenges that are there. And really glad that you're trying to make that happen. You know, I think there are so many people out there who are deeply seeking love. What is your hope for people who approach an app like Hinge? Like, how should one approach it? Because I think that's, you know, in at least in my world, and when I'm advising and guiding people, whether it's personally or online or through the podcast, I find like our approach to whatever it is that we want, whether it's love or success or whatever it may be, is so important, sometimes even more than the action we're about to take. It's the intention and the approach that we have. What's the, I wouldn't say the right approach, because I think there are multiple, but what's your recommended or suggested approach that you're seeing people be more successful when it comes to online dating when they approach the app in a particular way?
Yeah, there's a story that comes to mind when you say that, which is I remember this study about these people. They were studying unlucky people versus lucky people. People who describe themselves as lucky and people who describe themselves as unlucky. And they did this study where they handed them a newspaper and they're supposed to count how many, do you know this, do you know what I'm talking about? Supposed to count how many photos are in the newspaper. And the unlucky people took on average like 15 seconds to count how many, and the lucky people averaged like 3 seconds. And why was that? It was because like on the second page, it said in really big print, like, there are this many photos, you can stop reading now. And you know, the people who are lucky are people who have that awareness, that spatial awareness of like, of, you know, they're not so narrowly focused on like, it has to be this way. Like, I have to find these photos and that's what I'm going to do. And like, that's my world. And I think so many of us approach dating like, I have to find this type of person and it has to be like this and it's got to feel like this. And I want to meet them in this way. And we're going to, and it's like, and when you put everything into like that narrow a box, you're setting yourself up for failure. And I think when people approach it with an much more open mindset, with not clear definitions around what exactly they're looking for. Like, for example, this was in Christian Rutter's book, Dataclism, but about data and online dating. But it talked about how people who set preferences, like set themselves up for failure, especially hard preferences around like whatever age or ethnicity or things like that, because almost always people end up with someone outside of those preferences if they give themselves that shot. And so that, I think that's the biggest thing, is not thinking you know what you want or what you need going into it, and allowing yourself to be open and to be surprised. I think that's the number one thing that allows people to have a successful dating life. Not only because I think it helps you find your person faster, but also because it allows you to treat every connection as a who knows what, you know, maybe a best friend, maybe a business connection, who knows? Like, if it's like that idea that like either this person is like the person I'm going to marry or garbage, you know, like that's like that is like not like that's going to lead to a really like lonely existence. But if it's just, hey, this person, who knows where it could go? I think that's another really big piece of it.
Yeah, I love that, because I think you're so right. We write our story before we fall in love. Like, you've already written your version, and then you're now trying to find the version that matches that version. And that's impossible because you made this up, as opposed to letting yourself find someone and that creating its own story, whatever that looks like. And yeah, I can definitely see that. There's so many parameters and barriers and boundaries around how to find the one or the right person. I'm glad we started with that. So, Justin, this has been great, man. It's been great talking to you today. And I'm really glad that we got to speak so much about your story, your journey, your insights. I think some of your advice was really useful today, whether it's for people in relationships, working from home, entrepreneurs. And we end every episode with two little segments. One's called Fill in the Blanks. So we'll start with that. So I read a sentence and you fill in the blanks. So you fill in the last word. So here's the first of the five. The most important decision we make is?
The person that we choose to spend the rest of our lives with.
I agree. If you want a thriving relationship, always?
Show up with honesty.
Only stay in a relationship with someone that
loves you for who you are.
Lack of connection.
Not who you could be.
Yeah, true. Don't date someone's potential, right? So, yeah. Lack of connection makes us
crave validation.
All great dates start with
an opening line. I mean, it's that first, you know, every great journey starts with the first step. And I think that's true with dates as well.
Yeah. Awesome. So this is your final five. These questions have to be answered in one word to one sentence maximum. So they're not okay. Answers. So you can go to one sentence, but not more than that. So what
if for one word though? Am I fitting for one word or just or one?
If
sentence?
You can do one word, that's amazing. No one has ever done it. So if if you want to do it, you are by all means welcome to do it. If you could create a law that everyone in the world had to follow, what would it be?
Wow. I mean, I could just say love, right?
It has to be a law, though. It has to feel
like I'll
give you a good example. Okay, go on.
No. Go ahead. Give me an example. But
I'm giving you an example. So I asked this. So the best. No. That's too much pressure. I'm going to let you share it.
No. Okay. Sorry. The law that everyone in the world would have to follow.
If you could create a law that everyone in the world would have to follow, what would that law be? And as law language like as possible in terms of. Yeah, it needs to sound like a law.
No one's ever asked me that question before. I would say, for me, it'd be, well, I guess, okay, I can't give you a whole soliloquy. When arguing with someone, you have to state their case first.
Nice, that's good. Yeah, that's a great answer. That's a great answer. I love it. Awesome. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. That's a very unique. We've never had that answer before. So that's great. Okay. Awesome. Second question. What have you been chasing in your life or had been chasing in your life that you no longer pursue?
Other than validation. but that is that's the clearest answer that comes from me.
Right.
Like the need for just more and more people to like me and tell me I'm okay versus...
Awesome.
Just feeling the need to belong. Yeah.
Great. Awesome. What do you feel is the biggest misconception about your app?
That we're just another dating app. That we're just another thing because we approach it truly from a different perspective. Like, I just can't tell you how different it is to have your top metric be how many great dates are our users going on each week and do everything you can to increase that number versus growth, retention, engagement.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think the biggest question people always go like, oh, can you find real love on an app? Right. It's like, can you really find a
true
love that lasts all the time? And you know, that's kind of like the big question. And it's like, I don't think there's anywhere where you can't find love. Like to me, it's like, why not? Right. It's like, if you're asking the question, why, it's like, why not? There's so many random places that people connect and fall in love and find the person that they're with.
Yeah. So the answer is unequivocally yes. I mean, more people meet on apps than any other way now today.
It's
the most popular way to meet. And it's just the beginning of, it's the first 0.01% of your relationship, you know? Mm-hmm. And the rest of the 99.99% is up to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Awesome. Two last questions. What is the one thing you believe 100% when it comes to dating that others disagree with you on?
That it's not the person, it's the skills. I mean, it's the relationship skills that you have. I mean, that I think is the biggest, probably, iconoclastic view that I hold on dating and relationships.
Cool. And the fifth and final question, what was your biggest lesson learned from the last 12 months of your life?
The biggest lesson learned for me is really, I've learned, that was a lesson. The skill that I've developed the most is how to be a coach to help other people get to the right answers versus try to get to the right answers myself. I think I'm, you know, I was much more of like a critic and a debater and a pusher versus a coach, and the value of coaching, which gets you to a better answer and makes people feel more inspired and happier, doesn't drain their energy, is just like the value of that is infinite.
That's awesome. Amazing, man. Thank you so much, Justin. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so glad that we could share parts of your story and insights with my audience today. And I hope that many of you will, if you're feeling like you need to connect and looking for a new way to connect, then definitely check out Hinge. It's I've definitely got a lot of friends using it. I know a lot of staff using it, a lot of team members using it all across the world. So highly recommend it and check it out. And hopefully we'll help you find love and find connection. And like Justin said, sometimes it's not love, but you find another form of connection or friendship or whatever it is you didn't expect. And that's always always something not to underestimate, you know, connections.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Justin. Did I not ask you anything you really want to share or anything that's on your mind right now that you'd like to share with my audience?
Well, the last thing that's on my mind is just that, I mean, I know this is especially difficult time. A lot of people are have been laid off, but Hinge is hiring. So if you're in New York, definitely check out our jobs page. We have about 15 open roles right now. So,
amazing. Tell us some of the roles.
The whole gamut, from engineers to product designers and product people to content moderators, if you're just looking for a $20 an hour stay from home job. So there's a lot.
Amazing. Okay, that's great. Yeah, please go and check that out if anyone's looking for work. That's awesome. And thank you for sharing that with our audience. I really appreciate that.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth: no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.